helpful, give them creativity, inspire them, and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Justin.
Good morning. All right, now I turned my microphone on. It's good to see you this morning. How is everyone? Anyone rejoice over the rain this morning? Okay. All right. Well, I'll pray for you too. But hey, it's so good to see you. I love routine, so it's good to be kind of back in the swing of things. And but yeah, it's so good to see all of you here this morning. Before I get into everything, I get to do two announcements. I don't really know exactly why. These are maybe, if you didn't plan on listening to the normal announcements, then these are maybe the special ones that you really got to listen to. But I'm pretty excited. Here in a couple weeks, on Sunday, October the 7th, we have a guest speaker coming to our church. And many of you, actually very few of you, probably know this man. He's never been here before. His name is Mark Cargill. And he, there's a picture of my buddy Mark, and he's a friend of mine that I've met about 2 years ago, and he pastors a church in Tucson, Arizona. And he's actually originally from this area, but God has him in Tucson, and he's going to be with us, and I just want to, you know, I hope I get your hopes, like, really high for what God wants to do, because Mark is an incredible man of God. He has an incredible pastor's heart, but God has used him to encourage the body of Christ prophetically, and God uses him to encourage individuals. He has prayed over my wife and I, and actually the first time he prayed over us, he ended up praying over us for almost an hour straight of where we were at, and we didn't know him. I had met him like an hour before, and we sat next to each other and had an awesome rib dinner, and just kind of awkward getting to know each other, complimenting his flower shirt, different things like that. But God used him. He's incredibly pastoral, and just God uses him to encourage the body of Christ. And so he's going to be with us. You're going to want to be here on the 7th of October. And again, he's never been to Generational Hope before, and so he's going to have a great opportunity to meet you and just be encouraged by his faith and what God is going to say through him as he's with us. So that's coming up. And then today is National Back to Church Sunday, right? And some of you are like, man, that doesn't affect me because I'm here every week and I'm right there with you. But I just, wanted to encourage us with this. It's really amazing because several years ago, I had very few unchurched people in my life. Very few. Because just everything was about church. And today, fast forward about 5 years, and I have a lot of very becoming close relationships with people who still to this day do not attend church. And it's really interesting because when you spend time with them in interesting situations and scenarios, I could tell you some fun stories, but I won't. They never know how to approach me because they know I'm a pastor. And so they really want to be careful for some reason of what's going to come out of their mouth. And I appreciate that. And they'll slip up and they're like, sorry, preacher, But they all, maybe not all of my friends who don't go to church, they all have the same thing about church. And they all say, would it be okay if I ever showed up to church? Like, is that allowed? And I find that's very interesting because I assume, right, I make an assumption that they know they're welcome to come to church anytime they want. But the bottom line is a lot of them don't know church. They're waiting for you and for me to make a relationship with them that then would invite them to church. And, I assume, oh, yeah, you can come anytime. But they're waiting for that ask. They're waiting for that invitation. And they don't know how church works. And I think that's one of the biggest areas as a pastor and as a fellow Christian that God is working on my heart right now is I have a lot of assumptions on people who don't attend church. And the Lord is saying, would you get rid of your assumptions and would you just reach out to them because they need Jesus just as bad as I did. And so I don't know really exactly what that has to do with National Back to Church Sunday, but I want to pray that this would be a year that you can invite your unsaved friends to church because there is a God who loves them, right? And this morning, if you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you that today is a day that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I just pray that God would give us the strategy and the faith to be able to reach out to those who are just waiting to be asked. Amen? And so I just pray that over us today as we're just being faithful to do what God's called us to do. Those are my special announcements. Woohoo! Well, I'm really excited about the Word and just the season God has us in. And if you weren't here last week, it was a good service. You missed out, but God is going to meet you today. Amen? And so, Jesus, would you just continue to be with us today as we seek you? God, I ask that you would truly change our heart today. Father, that we would see with eyes of faith today and listen to hear what you want to say to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we started a series entitled Anticipate. And again, if you weren't here, I'm going to give you the two-minute recap. But I encourage you to listen to it online if you'd like to. But we're talking about anticipate. And our title is Ready for God to Move. How many of you know I want to be ready for God to move in my life when he's ready to move? Amen? When God speaks something, I don't want to have to say, God, hold that thought. I'm not ready. Let me get ready. And then, you can use me. I want to be ready in and out of season. So when he says, I want you to do this, I want you to act in this way, I'm ready to do it. I don't have to put God on hold. Okay, and the word anticipate, we talked about it last week, it means to regard as probable. So when we're saying we are anticipating God moving, we are showing up every day at work, we are waking up every morning, we are going to church every Sunday going, it's probable that God is going to show up today. In fact, I'm going to put my money, I'm going to bank on God showing up versus him not showing up. Okay, so you are anticipating that God is going to show up. Okay, it also means to expect something to happen. How many of you know it would be a very boring life if nothing ever happened in my Christianity? Just like, oh yeah, well, I'm a Christian. Well, because I'm a Christian, there's an expectation that I have that says, I can't wait to see how God's going to use me today. Right? I can't wait to see. I had a really cool testimony happen to me this week. And yesterday, so I coach football, right, for my kid. It's a lot of fun. We're 3-0. Not that that matters, but it might matter because we're 3-0. And I coach for Tahoma Bears, 5th and 6th grade, just an organization. And yesterday, they know I'm a pastor. They call me preach, and they're always looking at me and apologizing when they swear. But they looked at me and they said, hey, we think we want you to start praying for our games before service or before the game. Would you mind doing that? And I'm, trying to act like I've been here before and like, yeah, man, I'm ready. Inside, I'm like, thank you, Lord, right? But I want us in our normal walk to anticipate stuff like that's going to happen because there's a difference in our lives. Cool things are going to happen as we walk that out. Okay, it also means to predict. Again, I'm going to predict that God is going to do what he said he would do. I'm not going to have doubt that says, well, what if God doesn't show up? I'm going to put all my money in on God is going to show up because he's faithful and that's what he does. Last week, we talked about how God wants us to be people of faith, how faith is the missing ingredient in our life. And can I get my water? My sweet wife there. Thank you. Or not my sweet wife. Hey, thanks, sweetie. I live for awkward moments. Hey. but we're called. I love Pastor Ryan. Yeah, and but I love my wife more and differently. Yeah, I don't feel uncomfortable. But we talked about how God wants us to be people of faith, not people of reason, right? Because when things happen, when God speaks, our first idea is to, it has to make sense in our mind. And God says, my ways always don't make sense. And so stop trying to make them make sense. Because many times our reason is what kills the faith that's inside of us. And so we talked about that. We said that we want to be people who have faith in Jesus. Amen? Because my faith in Jesus is what gets me eternal life. But we also talked about not just having faith in Jesus, but that we want to be people who have the faith of Jesus. Right, who will believe the impossible, who will do the impossible, and who will not think just on natural terms, but thinks with the supernatural mind. And we talked about that God's ways and God's truth go way beyond our reason. Right, so we sometimes, good luck trying to understand it, because unfortunately, you may not understand God's ways. But God still wants you to believe what he's saying and what he's doing. So that is what we talked about last week. Recap. Today, the title of my message is Dirt to Dreams. Okay, from dirt to dreams. You know, the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? There's a spiritual battle going on, and I believe that, right? If you're sitting next to them this morning, they are not your enemy. Okay, our enemy is supernatural. Okay, it's not your wife, it's not your kids, it's not me. So I believe that scripture, but here's what also I believe, especially men, I believe this. We may fight supernatural battles, but I believe another big fight for us men is the fight against home improvement television shows. You know why I say that? Because Chip and Joanna Gaines make it look so easy. Your wife watches a show and they, you know, turn three rooms into one huge room, and they do it with a smile on their face in 10 minutes because that's all you saw. And so you get home from work and your wife has a sledgehammer out and she's like, but they moved a wall. Why can't we? And, you know, but what they don't show is they don't show the sweat, the blood, the tears of when you tear down a wall and it's infested with something, or it's completely gone, or you do something and you just realize you just have a whole lot more work. So men, sympathize with me today. You know, we don't just fight flesh and blood. You know, I think we fight this, the home improvement television that makes it look so easy. So we're going to pray for that later and get real serious. But they make it look really easy. And when we talk about from dirt to dreams, you know, you have a plot of ground and it's like, it looks barren, it looks empty, it looks rough. And God wants to build the dreams on the ground that may look like dirt in your life today. Okay, there are dreams and there are things that God wants to do in your heart, and it may not look close at all to a picture-perfect dream house or dream job, but God wants to build dreams in your life right now where it just may look like barren dirt. Okay, so from dirt to dreams. I want to encourage us this morning with a scripture in James chapter 5, verse 7, and it says this. It says, meanwhile, and I hope you're encouraged this morning. It says, meanwhile, brothers and sisters, we must be patient, and listen to this, and filled with expectation, okay, filled with anticipation, expectation, as you wait for the appearing of the Lord. Okay, so we are called to, P word, be patient, but to have expectation, meaning that you are eagerly awaiting for what? For the appearing of God's presence, for the appearing of God's moving, for God to do something in your life, right? We're called to wait patiently, but with expectation. Then he goes on and he says, think about the farmer who patiently waits for the earth's harvest as it ripens because of the early and latter rains. Okay, so be patient, but have expectation, and be like a farmer who waits for the rains for the fruit to, you know, come up. So you also keep your hopes high. Come on, how's your hope level this morning as you wait with expectation for God to reveal himself in your life? Where's your hope level? Again, it may be down here. That's okay. It may be up here. Good for you. But how's your hope level? Right? Keep your hopes high and be patient. Listen, for the presence of the Lord is drawing closer. Okay, and if you look at that word, drawing closer, and in other versions, it can mean the presence of the Lord is at hand. Okay, it's for now. It's for today. Another version, it talks about like a farmer taking the reins of the ox that are going to plow, meaning we're going to plow now. We're going to do some work, right? If we were to use it in our normal vocabulary today, it'd be like taking the throttle, okay? The presence of God's kingdom is about ready to take the throttle, and we're going to go forward, okay? We're going to go fast, and I picture a red quick car when I hear about that, okay? And so my hope in this morning, my confidence is full, okay? The Bible says to not throw away your confidence because it has great reward. Where's your confidence level in the Lord today? Okay, rhetorical question, right? Because it may be low. But I want to encourage you this morning that you can be confident in our God. Okay, as Christ's followers, we're called to have high hopes. Okay, we're called to put it all in for Jesus. So I read this scripture, and this scripture, it's kind of a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde type scripture, because it can either give you great hope this morning or it can discourage you this morning. Okay, if you read between the lines a little bit, because if you are a farmer, you can be confident this morning. I say that because the farmer waited. The farmer just had to wait for the fruit. Okay, so if you're a farmer this morning and you've done what farmers are supposed to do, good for you, right? Because you're just going to wait for your crop. But if you are which I'll call today, a farmposter, right? If you're a fake farmer, you're probably looking at that scripture and you're thinking, I'm nervous because I don't farm, meaning I don't plant seeds, I don't till up ground, and so therefore, I don't know if I'm going to reap a harvest in my life, okay? Because I know this, anyone can own a pair of work boots, right? Anyone can own a pair of cowboy boots, right? I tell you right now, I was raised in Enumclaw, so farming was all over. I was wearing flannel before it was cool to wear flannel. Okay, and when people were making fun of me for wearing flannel, I was like, well, I'm just going to keep wearing flannel, right? Anyone can wear flannel. Anyone can have the tools, right? Anyone could take a picture in front of an old rustic barn and call it, you know, retro or distressed or reclaimed, right? It's a big thing, right? Hey, the farm life, it looks appealing until you're like out there doing it and it's hard work. And your goats, you're chasing your goats around your yard, and all your neighbors are like, whose goats are these? We found our goats this week. That was big news. There may or may not be a video of me catching goats with a fishing net. It's pretty good. Right? But the idea of the farming is great, and the idea of fruit is great. But the reality is, farming is hard work. The reality is there's the difference between a farmposter and a farmer is doing what farmers do, is planting seed, right? Is having a crop, is tilling the ground, right? And the Bible says that the kingdom of God is that of the farmer who waits patiently for the harvest. Why? Because he's planted the seed, right? Because he's done the work. But not just because he's got a cool flannel shirt on, and he took a picture with his family in front of an old barn, right? It's because he did the work. And I want to say this morning, that the seed will do what the seed is supposed to do as long as it's planted, as long as it's been tended. Okay, but he can wait patiently for it because why? Because he planted the seed. You know, and I can say the same thing for my life today, that the things and the seeds that are growing in my life will continue to grow as long as I've given those seeds a chance to grow. But here's the lie that I think we're struggling with is I think many people have been taught that the God that they serve is more like a genie in a bottle, right? That you just be like, well, I need this and I need this. And so we do our little spiritual thing. And then when it doesn't happen, we get disappointed. And God can do the miraculous. And God can do the impossible. And God can do the unexpected. Amen? But we're called to be people who plant and who sow because those people will yield a crop. Okay, the Bible talks a lot about time and chance, right? It says time and chance happen to us all. Listen, some of you might play the lottery. I pray that you win it, but I would discourage you from building your investment strategy around winning the lottery. Right? You may get lucky, and I pray you do. And then I pray you're a tither, right? Right? But I pray that you do. But I don't build my life based off time and chance. I base my life off of planting, reaping, sowing, tilling. Okay, I want to say this morning that the seed of the Word of God is good seed. The seed of God's kingdom is good seed. Okay, when I say it's good seed, I mean that God's word and God's truth is reliable. That God's word and God's truth and God's promises are tried and tested. Okay, God's truths are eternal. God's truths work. Okay, the seed of the word of God and the seed of God's kingdom is good. Okay, it's endorsed. It's reliable. Okay, when disappointment in life happens, and it happens to me, it happens to you, but whenever disappointment happens, I find with my own self, I'm really quick to blame the seed. I'm really quick to blame the seed. You know, he told me if I just read this book on parenting, I'm going to have good kids. Well, guess what? My kids are still rotten, and I've read 3 books. Bad book. Right? I know I'm joking, and we're having fun about it. Or how about this? Man, they said, if I just invest in God's kingdom, then I'm going to be rich. Well, I don't know who would say that, but they said if I just did this, it doesn't work. Giving to the church doesn't work. Or man, my marriage. All right, how about that one? Man, if I went to a marriage retreat and my marriage is still bad. That's a bad speaker. It's a bad marriage speaker. Right? We're quick to blame the seed. We're quick to blame the seed when we experience disappointment. When things don't go as we thought in our heads they would go. We're very quick to blame the seed. Can I say this morning that the seed is not the problem? The seed is not the problem because the seed will accomplish what it's supposed to do because the seed is good. Okay, the seed is certified. The seed has everything inside of it that it needs to be a fruit someday or a plant someday, right? The seed is not the problem. It will bear fruit if it's planted and cared for. Hey, listen, we don't grow in our lives not because it's a seed issue. We don't grow in our lives because it's a soil issue. Okay, it's a soil issue. Right? We can't do anything about the seed in our life except plant it, right? Water it, tend it. But we have every ounce of control of the soil in our life. The soil that's in my spiritual life is a reflection of how I'm tending that soil and how I'm caring for that soil. Okay, it reminds me of the same type of situation in the New Testament when Jesus was working with his disciples. And in your Bibles, you could turn to Matthew 13. I want to read. And Jesus, I love it. He would speak in stories a lot, probably because he knew people were visual, right? And so he would compare spiritual truths to real life situations. So Matthew 13, he's speaking to his disciples and people who would listen, and he says this. He says, consider this. There once was a farmer, there we go again, who went out to sow some seeds. As he cast his seeds, some of the seed fell along the beaten path, and some birds came to eat it. Okay, other seed fell onto gravel that had no topsoil. Okay, the seeds quickly shot up, but when the days were hot, the sprouts were scorched and the withered because they had insufficient roots. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns and the weeds, so when the seeds sprouted, so did the weeds. Ugh. Have you ever noticed that? Like, I can't get my grass to grow in the summer, but the weeds still grow? Right, that's a whole different subject. Right, but the weeds grow, crowding out the good plants. But other seeds, in verse 8, fell on good, rich soil that kept producing a good harvest. Some yielded 30, 60, and even 100 times as much was planted. If you're able to understand this, then you need to respond. Okay, so Jesus says that, and they go back to home to eat or whatever they're going to do. The disciples, they leave, and then they get back around the table, and they're like, hey, Jesus, back there when you were speaking to us, you were talking about seed and stuff. And they're like, we don't get it. What's that mean? Okay, and so Jesus then in verse 19 starts going back to it again, and he says this, and he says, he's talking about four different types of seed. And he says, the seed that fell on the beaten path, it represents the heart of the one who hears the message of the kingdom of God, but doesn't understand the message. The adversary then comes and snatches away what was sown into his heart. Okay, so this first type of seed might speak to people who have a very basic relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know the Lord this morning and you've heard a little bit about it, right? That might be you, where the seed isn't really planted deep in your heart yet. I believe it also can speak to the heart when it says it doesn't understand. I think it can speak to reason. I don't understand, God, what you're doing, and so therefore I can't receive it. Right? And the Bible says that when we, like we talked about last week, when we continually try to reason the promises of God to make sense in our mind, many times the enemy is going to steal those seeds out of your life. Right? Because we can't wrap our reasoning around it. Okay, so that's the first type of seed, right? The second type of seed in verse 20 will continue. It says the seed sown on gravel, right? I've tried to do that before. Right? It represents the person who gladly hears the kingdom message, but his experience remains shallow. Okay, shortly after he hears it, troubles and persecution come, hello, because of the kingdom message he received. He then quickly falls away, for the truth didn't sink deeply into his heart. Okay, so what does this second type of seed speak of? Right, this speaks of, I think, a lot of maybe Christianity America. Right, this is the ones who, I might come to church. I might go, amen, preacher, preach it. Right? Amen, yes, Lord. Right? Yes, Lord, do it. Jesus, you know, shake that tree, pastor. That's good. Right? It may be excited about the church experience. Right? And I'm telling you, I hope we can get excited about coming to church. Okay? Because it's the best place to be. It's my favorite day of the week. Right, but my relationship with Christ is based on more than the church experience that I have on Sunday mornings. Okay, I love summer camp. We had a great summer camp this year, Pastor Ryan. Right, and we talk about the camp experience. I hope our sons and daughters have camp experiences, because those are where God sparks on their heart. But the camp experience is not meant to last for a week, right, or a month. It's meant to carry them through their relationship with Christ. Our relationship with the Lord cannot end at 11:02 when we dismiss today, or 11:01, or 11:15, and some of you just looked at the clock and like, okay, how's he doing? I get it. Right? Relationships that God wants to build in your life cannot be all about just Sunday mornings. Okay, it's more than the church experience. We talk about community groups. Listen, you want to grow in relationship with other people, it probably isn't going to happen on Sunday mornings. And I say probably really loosely, Because it won't. Right? Because it can't. But if you want to grow, if you're fighting loneliness in your life, I encourage you to get with people that you can meet with on a regular basis to build true community and true friendship. You know, you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord deep, then get involved in discipleship. Then get involved in really spending time in the Word of God, because it's not all going to happen in a 35, 40-minute message. Right? There's something that happens at church, but it's the Monday through Saturday where we see our life really grow and mature. You know, it breaks my heart to see people have an experience with God, and then 2 weeks later, they're back to their normal life. And I don't always blame them. I say, man, they probably didn't know what they needed to do to grow in their relationship with Christ. Listen, church is a place, and we talked about earlier, to belong. Okay, this church is a place for your unsaved neighbors. This church is a place for the mature Christians. But you're not going to grow in your relationship with Christ if you don't choose to get planted. Okay, so choose to get planted. We'll continue here. The seed in verse 22, it says, the seed that was sown among the weeds represents the person who receives the message. Okay, and I've been here. But all of life's busy distractions, okay, I've got those. Okay, I've got busyness too, a lot of it. His divided heart, his ambition for wealth. Again, those things aren't necessarily bad things. But they result in a suffocating the kingdom message and prevent him from bearing spiritual fruit. Okay, this is I would say, in your walk with the Lord, where the rubber kind of meets the road. You've done the church thing for a long time. It's just a part of your life. But it's those areas where God says, will you give this up for me? Right? It's those areas where we're talking about habits, attitudes. Right? Don't nudge your wife. Come on. Right? Unless you're going, that's me, honey. Right? But this is the attitudes. This is the habits. This is where God says, will you give me your lifestyle? Will you give me your addiction? What you're doing isn't profiting you, right? Those are the things. How about priorities, right? That's what he's talking about, is where are your priorities? Or how about when God wants to rearrange your priorities and you're like, God, I said you could have this, this, and this, but I never gave you permission to have this, right? X, whatever it is. Right, this is where we're talking about with priorities in life and distractions. Okay? This is where God says, will you cut out the influences in your life that are causing you to remain barren? You know what I'm talking about? Without like stepping on my toes or stepping on your toes too much. Because I think these are all the things that we all can identify with that keep us from growing in the Lord. Right? The anger, the bitterness, the lack of focus, the addictions, right? Whatever it is in your life, the thorns that the Word of God wants to grow, but it can't because there's some things that need to be gotten rid of. There's some weeding needs to happen, right? Some tilling needs to happen. We got to get that weeds out of there. And then in verse 23, right, everyone waited for this part. As for the seed that fell upon the good, rich soil, listen to this. It represents the heart of the people who hear the word, who fully embrace the message of heaven's kingdom realm. Come on, that's what I want to be, amen? Their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as was sown. Listen, as sons and daughters of God, we're called to bear fruit. Right? We're called to bear fruit. So the Bible talks about these four types of soil. Okay, I hope you caught them. Okay, the first three are maybe not good. Okay, they're bad, right? It talks about it could be better. Okay, so it talks about these three types of soil. And you know what the Bible calls it? They call it hard places, or another, some translations call it fallow ground. Okay, fallow ground, F-A-L-L-O-W, fallow ground. Okay, it says that these are fallow ground areas in our life. And you think about, okay, what does that mean? Because we don't use that word anymore. But it means this. Fallow ground is land that could be productive. It has the potential to be productive, but for whatever reason, it's not. Okay? For whatever reason, it has the potential to be productive, but for various reasons, it hasn't been tilled, it hasn't been broken up, it hasn't been maintained, it's been neglected. Okay, you get the picture of fallow ground. Maybe a forest fire has burned over that ground and it's just a charcoaly mess anymore. But it's fallow, meaning it has potential. Okay, but it needs what? It needs some work. It needs to be tilled. It needs to be turned. It needs, maybe some things need to be uprooted so that the fallow ground can be productive ground. Because I think so many people in their Christian life, they can't anticipate God moving in their life because the soil of their heart can't grow anything that God wants to grow. Okay, and I'm guilty. And then I get disappointed when God, then things in my life don't happen, and when my life is falling apart, when God's saying, would you work on the soil of your heart? Would you break up the fallow ground? Okay, when we're talking about fallow ground, I think there's two areas, right? Number one, ground is fallow because it's not usable. Okay, it's just, it's plain and simple. You can't use it, right? And speaking to us, maybe you've been burned spiritually, right? Maybe you've been disappointed by church, by God, by your spouse, by someone that you looked up to, right? You've been burned. You've been disappointed. How about betrayal, right? Betrayal can cause you, the ground of your heart to become hard, right? And fallow and unusable. Right, maybe there's addictions, habits that you want to do good, but it's unusable. The seeds will just hit and they won't go up. Second area was it's unused, right? It's unusable because it's burned over, but second of all, it's unused because it just might be just untapped potential. You know what I'm saying? Where you drive by a piece of property and you just think of, man, that thing's just sitting there and it would be a perfect place for a dream house. Why isn't someone building one there? Right? It's just untapped potential. And I believe in the body of Christ, there's a lot of that. Right? Where there's gifts that God's given you that for whatever reason, it's just not being used. Right? What are those areas? Right? What are the gifts that you're not using? What's unused in your life? You know, in the Old Testament, there's a scripture in Hosea, and it says, okay, so we recognize this morning. You go, man, Justin, yeah, I've got fallow ground. Yeah, Justin, you made it pretty clear. I've got some thorny soil in my heart. I've got some of the seeds haven't been able to grow because of, you know, I haven't tended to them. Okay. You know, Captain Obvious, thanks for pointing it out this morning. But what do we do about it? Right, what do we do about it? Right, because I don't want to assume that we know what to do about it. Okay, because the Bible in Hosea 10, it says this. It says, plant up the good seed of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Okay, and then it goes on. It says, plow up the hard ground of your heart. Okay, plow it up, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower his righteousness upon you. So what do? When we recognize, man, I've got weeds in my life. I've got thorns. I've got rocks. Man, I'm not caring for the seed. It can't grow. Well, don't get discouraged, right? But plow it up, right? Plow it up. Well, what does that mean to plow it up? How do you plow up the hard areas of your life? You know, worship team, you guys want to just make your way up here? How do you plow? Right? Because again, this doesn't need to be this big thing, but I think that we need to take an honest look at ourselves and say, man, is there a reason I'm not growing? I want to be excited for God's kingdom, but I can't because I got some fallow ground. How do I plow it up? Well, I think it's pretty simple. It's God, help me. God, forgive me. God, I recognize there's areas in my life that are hard, that I recognize there's habits in my life that need to be plowed up, right? You go to the Lord, you repent, you turn, right? You say, God, help me. Pastor Ryan talked about childlike faith. I can't have childlike faith. We need to recognize it and say, God, help me to have childlike faith. God, I want to believe your promises. When you're doing that, what are you doing? Right? You're plowing up the hard ground. You're stirring it up. You're saying, hey, I recognize that it's you guys can play. I recognize that it's hard. God, I don't want it to be hard. God, I want to believe. I mean, even last week, I had some people say, man, Justin, I heard your message. It was great. But I'm so used to just putting God in a box. I don't even know how to do it. Well, this morning, let's begin to see those mindsets fall down. Because God wants you to bear fruit in your life. Every single one of us, myself included. He wants us to bear fruit. And I think we find ourselves looking at the seed and saying, God, you didn't do what you had said you would do. And I think God this morning would say, would you look at the soil of your life? Because God is not just a genie in a bottle and, yeah, you know, time and chance, right? That's a part of it. But God says, would you be good at plowing the ground of your heart? Would you be good at doing what a farmer does, right? And who can wait confidently going, man, things are going to grow because there's soil for my word to work in. God, help me forgive, right? Maybe bitterness, man. Maybe God wants you to forgive people in your life that have wronged you. Disappointments, right? That's breaking up the fallow ground. That's plowing your heart. It's being honest with those things. You know, prepare your heart. I'd say this, break up the fallow ground means then start sowing what you want to reap. Right? You're struggling with unforgiveness, then start sowing forgiveness. You're having a hard time viewing people through eyes of grace, then start giving them grace. You want to feel loved in your relationship, then I encourage you, then start sowing that. Right? We've got to get a strategy in our life that says, God, I recognize I'm not where you want me to be. You want me to bear fruit, and so I'm going to work on the soil of my heart. Okay, I believe even today, we can break up some fallow ground in our hearts. Because when God plants his seeds in your heart, his desire is that there are going to be incredible crops and incredible fruit that is going to sustain you for your next season. Would you stand with me this morning?